Freya. "You're thinking of him again," she said teasingly, standing alone with Brendan in the brightly lit kitchen after Emmett had excused himself and gone to bed half an hour earlier. "Of course I'm thinking of him. I'm supposed to protect him." Not even looking at her, and she grinned. "And that's why you're thinking of his mouth. To protect him." Brendan shot her a glare. "Do you ever shut up?" And Freya laughed. "At least now I know why my sister wasn't your type." "Would you please shut up now?" he snapped, stalking out of the kitchen and into the living room. "It's not like that." He let himself drop onto the couch, sulking, and she sat gingerly down beside him. "It is like that." She was careful to keep her voice gentle. "And he likes you, so I don't get why you won't tell him." "It's my job. He's my job, and I can't afford to get emotionally involved. You know that. You know that." "Brendan." Freya let her hand rest tenderly against his cheek. "Isn't it a little late for that?" Brendan closed his eyes and took a deep breath. Then he opened his mouth to give her an answer she already knew. But before he could say anything, his cell phone rang. He flipped it open. "What?" A moment of silence while he listened. Then his face changed subtly. "They have? No, that's good." Another brief pause. "Are you sure?" "All right, I'll tell him. No, we'll come in tomorrow. Thanks." He snapped the phone shut and turned to Freya. "They've got him, Viper. Have a safe trip." Emmett handed his rather small bag to the taxi driver and turned to her with a half smile. "Thank you. We would have driven you to the airport ourselves, but we
have work to do, I know."
"Yeah."
There was a moment of awkward silence between them.
"Look, I'm sorry Brendan isn't here, but..."
"Freya, it's okay." Brendan, their shoulders touching as they watched a movie. Warmth, dorky grin. "I should have..." Freya couldn't help herself. She closed the distance between them for a hug. Emmett started a bit, then hugged her back just as tightly.
"It's not," she whispered. "It's really, really not. And Brendan's an idiot."
A warm huff of air against her temple as he laughed quietly.
"Come visit me.
Seriously, I'll introduce you to Betty. You could finally lift the mystery and tell me if she likes me." She snorted, enjoying his warmth just that little bit longer.
"It doesn't work with animals."
"Too bad." Then they let go, stepped back, and Emmett gave her a little wave before he got into the cab. "Bye, Freya." She nodded and waved as the cab started away from the sidewalk and into the traffic.
"Goodbye."
Part 5. Brendan. Terry greeted him with a big smile as he arrived at the field office. It was a takedown straight out of the handbook. He never even knew what hit him.
"Nice.
Head straight for the coffee maker. Maybe she'll leave you alone."
"No such luck."
"Didn't you want to take that doctor to the airport?"
"There's been a slight change of plans. Freya's getting him a cab."
"Ah." She was itching to ask. He could see it. So Brendan decided on a preemptive strike. "Get me a tape of the strike in Atlanta, would you?"
"Sure."
Terry hurried away, and Brendan sighed before getting himself a coffee. He should have taken Emmett to the airport. He didn't even know why he hadn't, and Freya would give him hell for it later. Rightfully so. He slouched down in front of his computer, sipping his coffee and waiting for the tape. No wonder his life was a mess if he was such a damn coward. He could have given Emmett his private number. Hell, he could have asked the man for a date. If he'd said no, there would have been hundreds of miles between them. They never would have had to see each other again. Damn it. Terry came back, putting a disc into his outstretched hand.
"Here you go. Have fun."
"Thanks." He started the program and leaned back to watch. The picture was from a security camera in a hotel lobby. A bit grainy, but clear enough. Two agents in civilian clothes were stationed in front of the little gift shop. Two at the front desk were seemingly caught up in a casual conversation with a clerk, another agent. One right at the door, dressed up as a porter, one waiting next to the elevator. A man entered the lobby, dark-skinned and stocky, and yes, the takedown had really gone down like something straight out of the handbook. The man had barely reached the desk before they had him on the floor, secured, handcuffed, disarm him, pull him up, get him out the building. Perfect. Yet something nagged at Brendan, something not quite right, and when, right in front of the door, the camera got the first real shot of the man's face, Brendan froze. Close, very close, but not the one. Setting his mug down hard on his desk, he was out of the chair, grabbing for his jacket as he turned to run towards the exit, his thoughts a litany of fuck, fuck, fuck. Freya met him halfway, a thunderous expression on her face. You are the biggest idiot. The man they arrested wasn't Viper. He interrupted her and steered her right back to the elevator. No. Too slow. Stairs. What? You're right. I'm an idiot. It was all a setup, damn it. Run down the stairs. Get to the fucking car. Brendan? Freya was stumbling next to him, trying to keep up. No need to protect someone if the bad guy's under arrest, right? Just let the good doctor go home again. He's safe now. Viper's probably already waiting at the damn airport. Get into the car, ignore partner's breathless questions, start the damn engine, and drive. Somewhere during the frantic drive to the airport, Brendan had found the time to picture Viper's face in his mind, so Freya would know what to look for. She'd called the office for backup, but they'd still arrive minutes before anyone else would show up. Damn it! The airport was full of people, leaving, arriving, waiting, or just shopping. Too many, and he looked around for that familiar face, or alternatively, Emmett. Which gate's Emmett's flight? He called. 7, Freya answered, and he took off. Waving his credentials around to get them both through security, he ran towards the gate. The flight was already boarding, time running out, and he hoped like hell they weren't too late. Then, right at the terminal, he spotted him. Emmett! No reaction. Louder. Emmett! The scientist raised his head and looked around quizzically. Spotting Brendan, he started to turn and jerked back as a dart hit his neck, 2 more embedding themselves in his chest and abdomen. Time slowed. Through the blood rushing in his ears, Brendan could hear Freya's voice shouting, "No!" as Emmett stared at them in confusion, stumbled, and went down. Around them, people were screaming, but it barely registered. All that mattered was that sneering face at the edge of the crowd, the hand raising the blowpipe. Brendan pulled the trigger. The first shot turned the smear into a mask of shock and disbelief. The second wiped all expression from the terrorist's face as he went down. The third and fourth shot were to be certain, and from the fifth shot on there was nothing but the blank gaze of death and pulling the trigger again and again until the clip was empty. 11 bullet holes, most of them not even bleeding. By then, most of the travellers had either thrown themselves to the floor or scattered away. Brendan turned where Emmett was lying, gun falling from his numb fingers. Freya had pulled out the darts, softly whispering as the scientist blinked up at the ceiling with a dazed look on his face. 3 darts. 3 direct hits. Brendan stumbled over to them, dropping to his knees beside the fallen man. Emmett! Part 6. Emmett. Strange ceiling for an airport. Flashing lights, dancing colours, like a drug experiment gone wrong. Or maybe this was a drug experiment gone wrong and he couldn't remember. Was he into drugs? He didn't think so. But then again, why would he lie on an airport floor and stare at the ceiling? He blinked, trying to turn his head, to see if there were other people around him. People who could explain, but he couldn't feel his neck. In fact, he couldn't feel any part of his body, and he should probably be worried about that. Instead, he idly wondered what it would be like to shed his skin. Maybe it would be similar. Maybe he was shedding his skin. He would have laughed at the thought, but he felt too tired. There was a darkness lurking at the edge of his vision, trying to pull him in, but it looked boring, so he waved it away. Pretty colours were better. A man's face swam into his view, blurred and contorted. He regarded it curiously. He knew that face. A name drifted into his consciousness, and with a lazy thought he grabbed at it. Brendan. Was he Brendan? No. The blurry face above him was Brendan. Funny, messed up Brendan, who hadn't cared enough to say goodbye, and yet somehow was there. Lips moving, but he... Emmett. That was him. Emmett. What a silly name. Couldn't hear a thing. How sad, he thought, with a fleeting notion of regret. He kind of liked the other man's voice. He would have liked to listen. Emmett closed his eyes, or maybe he passed out for a bit, but with the next blink his limbs were prickling like crazy, and the sounds of the airport were back, agitated voices, people yelling, "Brendan! Brendan! Hang in there, come on, you'll be fine, don't die on me now!" "Oh, shit!" Emmett whispered, an overwhelming feeling of nausea rising, pushed at the hands that were trying to keep him down. He opened his mouth to beg them to leave him be, but all that came out was a short groan and then the vomiting started. It went on forever, dry heaves racking his body even after his stomach was empty and nothing was left to throw up, leaving him gagging and coughing and shaking, pathetically grateful for every bit of air he managed to inhale. It was violent, painful, and somewhere between the cramps he'd developed a pounding headache, but there were strong, gentle hands holding him so he wouldn't soil himself. Freya's voice calling for an ambulance, Brendan's shaky reassurances close to his ear. "It's going to be fine. You're all right. Come on, you're doing fine. Just a little bit longer." This time, when the darkness came, he let himself fall into it. Warmth. Brendan. Part 7. Brendan. Brendan drove alone in his car, trying to keep it at a reasonable speed. He'd supervised the clean-up at the airport, talked with Harper on the phone to give him a preliminary report. Then he'd had to deal with airport security and their damn stupid questions of, "Isn't the NSA all about encryption and stuff?" before he could finally leave. The ambulance with Emmett was long gone by then. Freya had volunteered to go back to the field office and be the one giving their report, so that Brendan could drive straight to the hospital and check up on Emmett, to see if he was still alive. Brendan pressed his lips together, his mind caught in a constant loop of Emmett's body hitting the floor. Yes, he'd been attracted to the guy, but that in no way had prepared him for the way he just snapped when... Fuck. One dart in the neck. Another in the chest, the third driven deep into his abdomen. Vital points. A confused blink as their eyes met, and then a light sway, a stagger. Finally, knees giving way, stumbling, falling. Right knee hitting first, then the left, upper body sinking to the left, dropping heavily on the ground. Glazed eyes staring at the ceiling as he came to rest, limp and unmoving on the dirty floor. Unresponsive. Fuck. Fuck, he cursed, slamming his hand down on the steering wheel. If he had done his job properly, Emmett wouldn't be dying right now. One dart in the neck, another in the chest, the third driven deep into his abdomen. Vital points. Later, he couldn't have said how he'd gotten to the hospital. The nurse at the front desk frowned at him when he stormed up to her. "Dr. Emmett?" "Not the morgue. Please, not the morgue." "Are you a relative?" Brendan pulled out his credentials and shoved them under her nose. "NSA, where is he?" "ICU. Room 513. ICU. That meant alive, didn't it? The ICU ward was bustling with activity, people running past him with alarmed shouts, the high-pitched blaring of an alarm making him feel numb with apprehension. Nurses and doctors, frantic activity directed towards one room, and he didn't want to read the plate, even as his eyes were drawn to it, didn't want to... It was room 57. Relief flooded his system like a drug. 513 was at the end of a short corridor, and he pushed the door open without bothering to think too much about what he might find behind it. He found Emmett, hooked up to a heart monitor, a cannula under his nose, and grinning at him. Albeit weakly. "Hi." Staring, Brendan felt at a loss for words. "Hi," he said dumbly. "You could grab a chair," Emmett suggested, and Brendan did, still staring. "Why the hell aren't you dead?" Brendan blurted finally, when the constant beeping became too much. "Serotherapy," Emmett grinned again at Brendan's blank stare, adding, "Vaccination? I played my own guinea pig with Betty's antivenom, building up an immunity to snake toxin. Of course, I couldn't be sure it was working until I actually got bitten, but I wasn't ready for that kind of test." "You injected yourself with an unknown drug?" "No, I injected myself with an antivenom I had developed myself, And granted, it couldn't completely stave off a reaction to 3 poison darts, but it was enough to save my life. That's all that counts, isn't it? Yeah, pretty much. Only Brendan was beginning to feel more than a little angry after 2 hours of completely unnecessary worrying, not to mention the guilt and the strange feeling of loss, and here was Emmett still grinning, and suddenly he wanted to break the man's nose. And Emmett must have picked up on that, because his grin faded to be replaced by a look of concern. Brendan, are you all right? Yeah, he pulled himself together. Just, you know, a little tired after a long day's work. It was barely noon, but neither of them commented on that. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure you were all good to go home. This sure was one of the more interesting cases. Ignoring Emmett's slightly hurt look, he stood up and turned to leave the room. In the doorway, he paused. Freya sends her regards, he said, still inexplicably pissed, and left. Brendan, Emmett called after him. He just kept walking. He had a report to write. Part 8. Emmett. Hey, beauty, did you lose weight? I think you did. The corn snake tried to curl around his arm, but Betty was faster, cautiously taking it from his hand before swallowing it with one huge gulp. I should have known better than to hand you over to Feynman. Really, what does he know about snakes? She nudged him gently with her large head, and he sighed. Sorry, you just ate the last one. She nudged him again, and he petted her head. Guess I'll have to go outside, huh? He didn't really want to. Now that it was clear his anti-venom was working, he had more government funding than he'd ever asked for, and a research team, and they were building a second, larger lab across the street. So much for peaceful West Virginia. And he hated it with a passion, because all he had wanted to do for the last month was draw back and lick his wounds in private, but they just wouldn't let him. He still wasn't sure what had happened. One minute, Brendan was standing in the door, regarding him with a mix of relief and anxiety. And the next, it was DEFCON 3. Or Cold War. Whatever. Emmett kept telling himself that if he had Brendan's number, he would call. Ask him what went wrong. Maybe even ask him for a date. He'd be the first to admit that while he did great with snakes, he was actually terrible with people. But maybe they could have made it work. Right. If only he had the number. Because it wouldn't have been oh so easy to ask Freya. At least she was still talking to him. You know, it's pathetic. I've been with Monica for over a year and already I miss him more. Betty hissed quietly. Well, she hadn't liked Monica all that much, after those damn biosensors had messed her up for almost 2 months after they'd been taken out. She didn't like anyone all that much, an excuse Emmett had almost desperately grabbed for, using her feeding time as a welcome escape from all the hubbub. He'd never been one for company, but this was getting ridiculous. Petting Betty's head one final time, he opened the terrarium door and stepped outside. And froze. Hello, Emmett, Freya said, looking up at him and smiling as she pulled him into a hug. Freya? He returned the embrace a little awkwardly, taking a few seconds to get over his surprise and find his voice. What are you doing here? Visiting you. She said it like it should have been obvious. Well, it probably was. Maybe tying up some loose ends. Don't talk about tying up loose ends around a bunch of archaeologists, Emmett joked. All right, lame, but he hadn't expected her. At least his team obediently sniggered. Freya threw them a look. Emmett, let's go outside for a while, okay? Emmett shrugged. It wasn't like he couldn't wait to talk about his private life in front of his assistants. And Freya looked as though talking about his private life was exactly what she was planning to do, so he followed her through the lab and out of the building. A silver car was parked in front of the Institute. And leaning against the car, dressed in civvies, picking at his shirt, was Brendan. Emmett stopped short. What is this? Brendan's head shot up. Emmett, hi. How are you? He asked sheepishly, looking nervous. Instead of an answer, Emmett crossed his arms in front of his chest, ignoring the way he could feel his heart pounding against his fist. The least Brendan owed him was an explanation, if not an apology. Brendan's apparent nervousness faded into downright uncertainty. Look, I know I'm not... I didn't behave like I should have. I had no right to blame you for surviving, but can't we just... I know I blew it, but you're always... Freya keeps complaining that I can't get you out of my head. He looked a little sick.
Hmm?
Is that... What did you say? Babbling. It was irritatingly cute.
Hmm,
Emmett repeated, suppressing a smile. He walked down the few steps in front of the building and came to stand before Brendan, who stared at him with a strange combination of wariness and hope.
So what does that mean?
Hmm.
Emmett's gaze dropped to Brendan's lips, sighing as the tip of a pink tongue nervously flicked over them, leaving them moist and glistening.
He leaned forward, cautiously, just in case Brendan experienced another outbreak of irrationality. But if anything, Brendan's head tilted toward him. The kiss was short, almost shy, more a promise than anything else. But to Emmett it was the sweetest thing ever. Brendan was smiling goofily when they pulled apart.
So, is a good thing?
Behind them, Freya laughed. Part 9. Freya smiled as Brendan started to snore softly. They'd been on a stakeout all day, still were, but at least now another team had taken over and they could sleep for a few hours. It would have been nicer to go home, of course, especially for Brendan, who had only convinced Emmett to return with them to New York on the promise of at least regular evenings together, something her workaholic partner had to get used to. She turned to look at him, stretched out uncomfortably in the back of the van. He looked even younger asleep, almost innocent, with his mouth half open and drooling on his jacket. His eyes were moving rapidly beneath the closed lids, dreaming, and she couldn't resist, had to sneak a peek. Eyes closed, body warm, hot. Cool air against his sweat-slick skin, feeling every single strand of the sheet's fabric underneath his back, coarse, scratchy, delicious contrast to the softness of Emmett's hands as they slid lower, skimmed across his hips. One continued the journey downwards, caressing the tender skin of his inner thighs while the other closed around his... Freya looked away, her cheeks burning with the force of her blush.
That was not what she had expected. Who would have thought that her chaotic but overall rather analytical partner could let go like that?
She stared at the surveillance monitors for a while, trying to resist temptation, knowing that intruding was wrong. Brendan's dream memories lured her in again and started to suck, tongue playing with his circumcision scar. Brendan couldn't stay silent, couldn't stay still. He had to gasp, hips bucking without conscious decision to find more of that suction, more of that heat. Only Emmett drew back until only the tip of Brendan's dick was still in his mouth.
Damn it, come back here,
Brendan rasped, twitching at the sound of a plastic tube being snapped open.
Emmett!
A large hand closed around his erect member, squeezing hard, and Brendan exhaled with a ragged sigh.
Patience.
He flinched as a slick finger started to flicker around his hole, teasing him oh so lightly until he couldn't stand it any more.
Emmett, stop playing!
And the finger pushed in, sliding in up to the first knuckle, drawing back, pushing in further, and Brendan could feel it, how his muscles were clenching around the intruder, sucking him further inside. Higher and higher, Emmett's finger went, screwing its way in, brushing over,
oh God,
his prostate, accidentally maybe, but the pleasure made Brendan gasp, made him shiver, and Freya closed her eyes, trying to catch her breath.
Oh, wow.
Of course, she'd known, in a way, that Brendan and Emmett didn't spend their time at home watching TV. At least, not all of it. But this was hot. Squirming on the edge of her seat looking for some friction hot. And that wasn't right. Getting aroused by spying on Brendan's sex life wasn't right at all. And Freya was better than that. Really, she was. She opened her eyes, just the tiniest fraction. Panting as Emmett kept slamming into him, hot, heavy, weight pressing him into the mattress, in and out, stretching him, filling him up, and Brendan's muscles were screaming with the strain, legs locked painfully around Emmett's back, but he ignored it, ignored everything except the feeling of being fucked, being owned, so close to coming, so close to letting go, so close. Well, at least now she knew why Emmett kept grinning.